Pretty heavy stuff, huh? Thanks, Whit. We appreciate that. And I know that's not easy to get up here and speak about the evils that occur in this world. Well, for those of y'all who are new here today, or that just don't know me, my name is Jody. I am your follically challenged brother in Christ. And unfortunately for y'all, Rob has asked me to fill in today and speak to y'all. So if you are new, do not give up on us. This is not the best we have to offer. Right? So I really feel bad for y'all. Y'all should come back next week. If you want to make a run for the door now, I would totally understand. All right, so we've been studying through the Gospel of Matthew. And we've entered this section of the parables, where Jesus speaks to the people in parables. And today, we'll be looking at the parables of the wheat and the tares, the mustard seed, and the leaven. So parables, I mean, what are parables? What is a parable? Well, being a lifetime C student in English, I had to look it up. And I know the word parable, and I have a general understanding of what the word means, but what is a parable really? So I pull out my trusty Webster's Dictionary, and yes, I really have a hardback copy of the Webster's Dictionary. Look, the technology train left me at the station a long time ago. And to be honest with you, the definition they gave in there was kind of like reading stereo instructions in Latin. It just didn't make a whole lot of sense. So, praise God, by His grace and mercy, He saw fit to have me marry an English teacher. So, after an extensive lesson in parables, metaphors, and hyperbole, I come away with a parable is a way of explaining or describing something to someone in a way that they can easily understand, you know, using things that they encounter in their day-to-day lives. You know, and my wife is a fine English teacher. I mean, she's fine as a frog hair split four ways. How's that for hyperbole, honey? See, I told you I was listening. You know, I mean, we've all done this before, right? We've used everyday experiences to explain something to someone. Because I remember when I was 13 and my papa was teaching me to shoot my first shotgun. It was an old Remington 20-gauge pump-action shotgun from Sears and Roebuck out of the catalog. Anybody remember those? Right? Well, he got me this shotgun, and he said, "Son, the gun's a lot like a woman. It's all in how you hold her." Of course, being 13, the only woman I'd held to that point in my life was my mom. So I'm not real sure how helpful that was. And frankly, we're not even going to get into the metaphors he used to teach me how to squeeze the trigger and not just pull it. So, last week, we looked at Jesus' parable of the sower, where Jesus was explaining the different reactions of people to his words by using different kinds of soil conditions to describe their response. And some were good, and some not so good. So today, we go from seed or soil to seeds, but his technique is still the same. And you have to remember who Jesus was talking to. I mean, this was an agrarian culture. You like that word, agrarian? I just mean these farmers. So, we got any farmers out there? Anybody grow up on the farm? Anybody? So I'm by myself here today. Oh, no, I got one back here. All right, great. You can help me today explain some of this stuff to the rest of them. So remember, Jesus is talking to farmers about kingdom of heaven things using farming language. And if you grew up in the city, well, just come see me afterwards and we'll pray for you. I'm just kidding. I mean, just bear with me. I am a country boy trying to unpack the word of God. So y'all just be patient with me. All right, we're going to be putting in at verse 24, going to verse 30. And Jesus said, he put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? But he said to them, An enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, Then do you want us to go out and gather them? But he said, No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. Okay, so what's what and who's who in this parable about Jesus here? I mean, what does this actually tell us about the kingdom of heaven? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because Jesus himself tells us. Let's jump down to verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear. All right, well, we can move on now because Jesus already explained all this to us, so. Yes, he did explain it to us. And basically, what we have here in this parable is a flyover of the whole New Testament. I mean, we have Jesus coming and spreading the good seed of the gospel, making followers, and how they are to grow and interact with this world, and what's going to happen at the very end. So you have the New Testament right here. Gee, thanks, Rob. Really appreciate you giving me this section. I mean, no real pressure here. We just need you to teach the entire New Testament. You know, and we haven't even got to the other two parables yet. What time is it? Actually, I really do like this parable because it deals with plants. And being a plant guy like myself, I can get into this. And then while Jesus does give us the explanation to this parable, he doesn't really give us any practical application for our day-to-day lives, not for them then or for even us here today. So let's go back through this parable, knowing what we know, and see how this parable can shape our day-to-day lives. You know, we start out with this man who sowed good seed in his field. All right, let's kind of hold up right there a minute. So the man who owns the field is God, Jesus, that's right. See, y'all are paying attention too. So Jesus is the owner of the field. And then we go down and it says that he sowed good seed in his field. All right, so Jesus is the field owner. The field is the world. That's right. And he's sowing this good seed in his field, which is the world. All right, so since we didn't have that many farm boys out there, I'm going to have to kind of explain this to you myself. There are actually different qualities of seed that you can purchase to sow in your field. And what that boils down to is good seed has been sifted through thoroughly, and they've removed all other seeds and contaminants from the seed so that what you're planting is what you want to plant. And in this case, we have nothing but wheat seeds. Ooh, I try to say that. From Jesus' explanation, we know that that wheat is us. We are the wheat. Now, good seed is expensive. And us being the wheat, were we not bought at a great price? So we are good seed. I think this would be a good time for a little botany lesson here. which will help us with the rest of this parable. We'll actually be having a couple of these botany lessons here today, and I'm just going to throw those in for free. All right, we all know what wheat is, right? We've seen it on the side of cereal boxes and in those cheesy commercials where they're walking through the grain. So we all know what wheat is, right? Okay, so we can move on from there. Well, the weeds or tares that Jesus is talking about here are those darnels that you see in the slide. And their botanical name is Lolilium timulentum. Try to say that one, or even try to spell it. All right, it's a poisonous weed that if the seeds from the tares get mixed in with the wheat seeds and that gets ground into flour together, and then they make bread out of that, it actually creates a hallucinogen. So it's kind of like the first century version of LSD. I actually probably shouldn't have told y'all that, because now some kid's going to go out there and grow some darnels and make hallucinogenic bread. Great. Makes me a little nervous about communion at the end of the month. All right, well, darnels are actually related to wheat. They're in the same family. And in the early stages of growth, these two plants are very hard to tell apart. But however, as each plant matures, they become distinguishable. So the ears of the wheat there, they actually, as they grow up and mature, they tend to droop over and hang like this, while the ears of the darnel tend to stand upright, almost proud, you might say. Now remember, this would have been common knowledge to the original hearers of this. You know, and there might even have been a Pharisee or two in the crowd, because he's been poking fingers at them for a couple of chapters now. So you think Jesus might have been making some comparisons here? The humble wheat, the proud weeds? I don't know, maybe. Anyway, back to the parable. So while the men are sleeping, the owner's enemy comes in, which is, that's right, man, you guys are sharp. All right, so the devil comes in and throws out a bunch of these darnel seeds. And apparently this happened quite a bit back then. There was actually a Roman law that specifically forbid the sowing of poisonous plants in another's field. That just kind of seemed like a no-brainer to me. So if you were a farmer and you found an abundance of these darnels in your wheat, it was commonplace to suspect an enemy of doing this. You know, and then we come to these servants. And that word servant is actually kind of interesting there. That's actually the same word that Peter and Paul used to describe themselves as bondservants to Jesus. And in Jesus' explanation there in 36 and on, he just skips right over these guys. He didn't even tell us who they are. So why is that? Well, I think it's because he was talking to the servants. He was talking to his disciples. So in turn, he's talking to us here today, his disciples. Now remember, it was after the crowd had left that he had gone into the house and they came to him and asked for this explanation. He could have just as easily given it to the crowd. But, you know, as we learned last week, it's not until after we become followers of Jesus that we actually have ears to hear. The crowd just wasn't ready. So, as disciples of Jesus, we learn that we are privy to inside information. Well, gee, Jody, I don't see Jesus coming into my workplace or my school and explaining life to me or why this has happened to me. So where am I supposed to find this inside information? It's right here. God wrote a book. And the reading and application of what is in this book will change the way we view and interact with this world and the people that are around us. Well, Jody, I just don't have time, or I don't always understand what I'm reading in here. Guess what? Me too. I mean, you are looking at a card-holding member in good standing of the society that I do not do this well. But I want to. I want to know. I want to learn. I want to be a better representative for God's kingdom. I'm pretty sure y'all do too. Otherwise, you wouldn't have found somewhere else to be this morning. You know, this book is just like those English books I hardly ever read. I have to open it and read it and believe what it says is true in order for me to really learn anything. All right, moving on. So let's look at the servant's response. They come to the master, "Did you not sow good seed in your field?" Well, which obviously did, because Jesus told us he did. So why does it have weeds? Isn't that just like us? What's going on here, God? Why is there so much evil in the world? Why is this happening? And what does Jesus say? An enemy has done this. And the servants, just like us again, respond, "You want us to go out and take care of the problem?" How's that work out usually? I mean, we've all got experience with that. It kind of reminds me of when James and John were like, "Jesus, you want us to call down fire from heaven?" No. Jesus' response then, as the master's is here, is no. Wait. Least while taking care of the problem, you do harm to the good. In rooting out the bad, you do harm to the good. I'm sure we can all relate to that. So what are you saying, Jody? We're just to ignore evil in the world? No. No, I'm not. I mean, just like I said, read in here. 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. John tells us, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits and see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, but this you know the Spirit of God. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. But this we know, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So in this parable, Jesus is not pointing out the evils in the world. What I think Jesus is pointing out here, as we the weak are to copy the patience of God and the landowner here. I mean, has God not shown great patience towards us? I know he has with me. You know, as we the wheat are copying his patience, we are demonstrating trust in his sovereignty. Jesus lived this out for us with his disciples. Was Judas not allowed to continue with the rest? And was his betrayal not used by God to achieve his ultimate goal? Yeah, the wheat's growing today, but so are the weeds. Both are growing towards a different end, though. One to a really good place, and one to a really, really bad place. You know, and frankly, I'm thankful that it's not my job to go around rooting up tares. I would much rather go around flinging out the good seed of the good news and bringing as many as we can with us to that good, good place. All right, continuing on here, verses 31 through 32, and we're going to be talking about the mustard and the leaven. All right, he told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. All right, time for another one of those botany lessons that we were talking about. No charge. There are quite a few differing interpretations of this parable. And I mean, some of them are really out there. But, and I mean, if you're a southern boy like myself, when you say the word mustard seeds, I start thinking about mustard greens, which are super yummy, by the way. A little pepper sauce and some crackling cornbread. And well, that's just plain fitting. Anyway, that's not the mustard seed Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the spice mustard, which actually does grow into a large shrub. And it averages about 12 feet tall by about 6 feet around, as you can see here. And yes, it does come from a very small seed. I brought one to show you today, but I dropped it on the carpet earlier. And I haven't been able to find it. And I think it's, you know, we got to remember Jesus is describing here the kingdom of heaven. Because too often we start thinking he's describing the church. But this is the kingdom of heaven. Just as that small seed grows into a large shrub and produces more seeds, Jesus took 12 men out of an estimated 60 million people in the Roman Empire at that time and has spread his kingdom throughout this world. It continues to spread to this day. You know, just as the mustard tree made more seeds, his disciples made disciples, and they made more disciples. And then we come to those birds. What are those about? Making nests in this mustard tree. Well, I believe that these birds represent the Gentile nations. As the birds found shelter in the mustard tree, so we find shelter in God's kingdom. You know, something small has become something huge in God's hands. I mean, after all, didn't God tell Abraham that all nations would be blessed by his seed? Just as you couldn't take that tree and put it back in that seed, the kingdom of heaven cannot be stopped. I think that's enough said. All right, finishing up today, verses 33 through 35. All right, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. And then verse 34, all these things Jesus said to the crowd in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. All right, so Jesus, not wanting the bakers in the crowd to feel left out, gives us this parable about the leaven, which is yeast, right? Any bakers out there? Yeah, that's your last name. You don't do any baking. Well, I think it's important here to point out that there were 3 measures of flour. So since we don't have any bakers out there, they can't tell us what that means. So I looked it up. Okay, 3 measures of flour would yield about 50 pounds of dough. That's a lot of dough, which is going to make a lot of bread. You know, and then there's the leaven. Apparently this was a small amount. Now, I have not counted this myself, but I have read that apparently the word leaven appears about 98 times in the Bible. And not once is it used as a good thing. You know, and there are some commentators out there who believe that the yeast is the spread of false teaching throughout the church. But we got to remember, we're not talking about the church here. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven and how it affects this world. But isn't it just like Jesus to take something that we see one way and flip it right side up and just use it for his own purposes? So again, just like that mustard seed, I believe Jesus is talking about the spread of the kingdom of heaven into this world. But you know, we could take both of these parables here and we could internalize them into our own encounters with the kingdom of heaven. So we, the wheat, should never overlook the little things. I like how Rob says, when you rub up against the grace of God, it starts a change in us. From that first encounter, something small is planted within us. And then when we accept that free gift of grace, His Holy Spirit comes to reside within us. And just as that seed grew and that yeast spread, the Holy Spirit grows and spreads through our lives. You know, and just as we learned last week, that there can be different kinds of soils within our own hearts. But as we yield our lives to God and He changes our hearts, those soil conditions are converted to fertile soil, where an abundant produce of changes can be lived out within us. And that's going to change how we view and interact with this world. I mean, you never know when you do that small something for someone else, whether it's just the giving of your time or a kind or encouraging word, or just coming alongside somebody who's hurting for whatever reason, whether it's something they can control or something they brought on themselves, it doesn't matter. Say, hey man, I'm here. I'm here to walk with you through this. You are not alone. You know, the smallest things that we say or do may have the most monumental effects on the spread of the kingdom of God. You know, just as that tree could not be put back into that seed, or we could stop the spread of the yeast through the dough, as we yield ourselves to the changing work of God, we will interact and we will view this world differently. We will see it from God's perspective. We will see people as God sees them. Now, does this work traveling in a straight line? That hadn't been my experience. I mean, I've taken more U-turns and detours than I care to admit to y'all here this morning. And I'm pretty sure there'll be some more to come. But every time I have figured out I was headed in the wrong direction, God has been there waiting to lead me back to the path that He has laid out for me. I love what Paul tells us in Philippians 1:6. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Encouraging stuff. All right, then we get like this little freebie from Matthew here. This quote from Psalm 78, verse 2. You know, I don't know whether Matthew was reading through the Psalms that day and was like, oh, hey, look, this will be a great place to put this in my gospel. I don't know. Or it may just have kept coming up at trivia night at church in Jerusalem or something. I'm not real sure. Either way, now we know why Jesus spoke to them in parables. So, as we leave here today, let's remember, as we the wheat, not to overlook the little things. And as we the wheat are copying God's patience, which, by the way, y'all are off to a spectacular start, because y'all are all still sitting here listening to me. And let us endeavor, man, daily to open this, God's word, and look for insight for our lives. You know, in this book it says that this, His word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's take up the challenge to read God's textbook for life. Sound good? All right, if y'all stand with me. You know, dear Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful that You provide for our every need. That there's nothing that goes beyond Your notice. Because, Lord, so often we can get wrapped up in the weeds and the evil of this world. But help us to remember that you're in charge. You own the field, Father. You sowed the good seed in our hearts. So let us hold on to that, Lord. And when we're looking for you to speak to us, Lord, you have provided a book for us to read because you know how quick we are to forget. So, Lord, I just ask that you would spark a flame of passion for your word within each of our hearts and that you would fan that flame until it consumes us, Lord. Because this is how we will know you better. And these things we bring to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, blessing today. All right. Right there? All right. May the peace of the Lord Christ be with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into these doors. Now get out of here.